The book of Ezekiel in chapter 12. We're ready to begin looking at verses 17 through 20 and have a couple few thoughts from those verses. Let's read verses 17 through 20 this evening. Moreover, the word of the Lord came to me, saying, again, the word of the Lord came to him, saying, son of man, eat thy bread with quaking, and drink thy water with trembling, and with carefulness. And say unto the people of the land, thus saith the Lord God of the inhabitants of Jerusalem and of the land of Israel, they shall eat their bread with carefulness and drink their water with astonishment, that her land may be desolate from all that is therein because of the violence of all them that dwell therein. And the cities that are inhabited shall be laid waste, and the land shall be desolate, and ye shall know that I'm the Lord. Oh, to know that he is the Lord without his judgment falling upon you. Just a thought I just had as we read that again. In the 18th verse, son of man, eat thy bread with quaking. That is with shaking. And drink thy water with trembling and with carefulness, with anxiety. The sign here is one of fear. Here again in these verses, the prophet, by what he is to do, is to be a sign to the Israelites. Moreover, the word of the Lord came to me, saying, son of man, eat thy bread with quaking. This was addressed to Ezekiel from Jehovah. From Jehovah, the existing one, the sovereign one, the all-powerful one, the omniscient one, the omnipresent one, ever existing, the eternal God. And it was to be given to the exiles, to the captives. Verse 19, say unto the people of the land, in which Ezekiel was living in. Back to chapter 1, by the river Kibar, with the captives, with those in exile. In this message, the prophet shows to them that in regard to the brethren which remained in Jerusalem, there would be a cutting off of physical comforts of life. And even in their exile, there might be a cutting off of the physical comforts of life. Would not be life that they were used to. And therefore, because of that, they would eat their bread and drink their water in great anxiety with shaking and trembling. As I thought about this, I thought, I can't ever remember eating in fear, eating and being afraid. I can't empathize with them. I can't even sympathize with them. I could maybe somewhat imagine being afraid, but because you're hungry and thirsty, you need to eat, and so you do it with fear and trembling, with shaking and trembling and being worried, being anxious about what is to come and what is to happen. You can imagine even the exiles who were no longer in Jerusalem, who were no longer in Judah, who were no longer in the land of Israel. And there had to be some apprehensions. Knowing that any moment they could be put to death. At any moment a command could come down, as did in the days of Daniel, as did in the days of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, to bow down to the king's idol and to worship it. And if you don't, you're going to be thrown in a hot furnace that will likely kill you before you even land in the flame. Isn't that what happened to the men who threw them in? They fell down dead. So I imagine there was anxiety in the captives. And I imagine that they ate their bread, drank their water, was shaking and trembling. Amen. Everything wasn't as it was back in the land of Israel. It was different. They were now in a different land, a different people, ruled by a king of those people, not their own king. This state of unrest, it's made clear to us in the portion that we just read that it is because of the sins of the people. He started off the chapter by saying, Ezekiel, you dwell in the midst of a rebellious people. They have eyes to see, but see not. They have ears to hear, but hear not. That is, they would not hear the word of the Lord. They would not obey the word of the Lord. They were rebellious to God and His word. Turn with me to the book of Jeremiah, chapter 5. The book of Jeremiah, chapter 5. And look with me here at verse 25. Your iniquities have turned away these things, and your sins have withholden good things from you. In other words, the blessings of the Lord are not on you. They've turned away from you. God had given them warning, had he not? Turn with me back to the book of Leviticus. Leviticus, in chapter 26. After saying if they would walk in the statutes of the Lord, keep his commandments and do them, and all the blessings that would be upon them for doing that, walking in obedience to the word of God, he says in verse 14, but if ye will not hearken unto me, and will not do all these commandments. But if ye will not hearken unto me, and do all these commandments. If you won't listen to the word of the Lord. If you won't read the word of the Lord. If you won't hear, obey the word of the Lord. Now he said in verse 26, and when I have broken the staff of your bread, 10 women shall bake your bread in one oven, and they shall deliver you your bread again by weight, and ye shall eat and not be satisfied. They were going to have meager portions is what he said. He pronounced a whole lot of other things there. Read verse 26 because it applies to what Ezekiel is to be showing in sign by eating his bread with trembling, shaking, and drinking his water with trembling, and then anxiety. You imagine if you got so meager amount of food and so meager amount of water that you're having to measure it out, and it's not enough to curb your hunger, and you have to measure out your water, and it's not enough to curb your thirst, I imagine there'd be great anxiety about what I'm about, this little bit that I'm about to eat. Is there going to be more tomorrow? This little bit that I'm about to drink, is there going to be more tomorrow? Or am I going to starve to death? Yeah, I imagine there was great fear and anxiety in them. Look what he said in verse 36. And upon them that are left alive of you, I will send a faintness into their hearts. That is a weakness. They shall be of weak heart in the lands of their enemies. What were we saying about the captives? Mm-hmm. And the sound of a shaken leaf shall chase them, and they shall flee as fleeing from a sword, and they shall fall when none pursueth. That says to me great fear. Be upon them. Has not he warned us? Has not he commanded us to walk before him and be perfect? Yes. To be holy as he is holy? Judgment falls upon those who don't. I'm talking about God's people now. Amen. Really and truly, God's people. What was it he told the Corinthians in 1 Corinthians in chapter 11 about those who took the Lord's Supper in an unworthy manner? Some were even sickly, and some even died, slept. And that is a term that is only used to the child of God who dies. In other words, they died in their sin. Because they would not heed the word of the Lord. They would not hearken to his word. Look at Deuteronomy chapter 10. And I was thinking along these lines this afternoon. If you and I, if the saved of the Lord really fear the Lord, and we say, well, that's talking about a reverential fear of God. It involves being afraid of his power to bring judgment upon us because we heed not his word. Deuteronomy chapter 10 and verse 12. We read this. And now, Israel, what doth the Lord thy God require of thee but to fear the Lord thy God, to walk in all his ways, and to love him, and to serve the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul. If you fear the Lord thy God, then you'll walk in all his ways. Why? Because you'll fear what his power is able to do. What does that say about us tonight? Turn with me to the book of Psalms. Psalms 34. Look at verse 9. Oh, fear the Lord, ye his saints. For there is no want to them that fear him. Yes. This is a psalm of David. David was an Israelite. We just read to you in Deuteronomy chapter 10 and verse 12. Hear, O Israel, what doth the Lord thy God require of thee? And in case there's any skeptics saying, well, that was talking about Israel, that doesn't talk about us. Well, doesn't Psalms 34 and verse 9 say, ye saints? That is talking to Jew and Gentile saints. Amen. I can't help but think if we really feared the Lord. Yeah, in reverence. Reverencing Him for who He is. Yes. The sovereign, omnipotent, omniscient, omnipresent God.
Yes.
That it would affect our lives. And we would be more careful to walk in His way, all His ways. And to be obedient to His word. Why is it today that we find so many so-called Christians who want to argue with you about what the word of the Lord says? I'm talking about in our practical living now. And you realize the Scriptures has more to say about our living by faith and the life which we're to live than it does any other one subject.
Amen.
We love the doctrines of grace. We love the good old gospel of Jesus Christ. We love it when those things are preached. But we don't want to hear about how we ought to live. How we ought to walk before God in this life. Turn with me to the book of 1 Peter. First Peter in chapter 1. Verse 15. Verse 14 says, as obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lust in your ignorance. But we have a lot of God's people, so-called, walking around in their fleshly lust, their former lust. Today, he says, as obedient children. In other words, God's word won't have you to walk around in your former lust.
Amen.
But as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation, in all manner of your behavior. That includes what you do and what you say.
Amen.
Because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. And if ye call on the Father, who without respect of persons judgeth according to every man's work, pass the time of your sojourning here in fear. Pass the time of your temporary dwelling here in this life in fear. Fear of what? Fear of the Lord. In other words, walk obedient to His word. Because He is omnipotent. Because He does bring judgment upon His people. Seems we've been studying David. Ask David. We've already mentioned the fact that there are those who in disobedience and persist in disobedience, God's children, and persist in disobedience, but because they are an unprofitable servant, there's no more profit for the Lord because they're rebellious. He removes them from this life. That would be the, we would say, would be the easy way out. Sometimes He causes our flesh to suffer. He caused that to happen in many, many different ways. But now, the comforts of life. We all enjoy it when we prosper in the comforts of life, don't we? How often do you thank the Lord for the air conditioning? How often do you thank the Lord for the heat? The roof over your head. Psalmist said, I was young, now I'm old, and I've never seen the Lord's people forsaken or begging bread. Didn't say they might not have all the niceties, a nice soft bed to lay on, or a nice firm bed to lay on, whichever you prefer, with a roof over your head. You might have to make a shelter of sorts. I don't know what the dwellings of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob were. Seems like at least Abraham was a tent of some sort. But the word tent there means a dwelling place. A housing structure of some kind. It may not have been a tent as we think of a tent. But because he was a nomad of sorts, it would seem as though it was a tent. Something easily to pull up and to put down when needed. Yeah, that just gets my thoughts and mind running all kinds of different directions, especially when it comes to pastors and so forth. You know, when a pastor buys a house in the place that he's pastoring, that can be kind of a hindrance if the Lord calls him to another field of service. And a worry. He knows the Lord's taking him yonder, but he's got this house. What do I do with this house? I can't afford to pay for a house that I'm not living in. Well, like I said, that's another subject, and a lot of things go around about that. Tonight we're called upon to be holy, amen, as He is holy. And admonished in 1 Peter, verse 17, to live the time of our sojourning here on earth. To live it in fear. Live it in fear of the Lord, the one who's holy. Realizing that He is all powerful and that He hates sin. We've talked of late, do we hate sin? Do we hate sin? We would probably be more correct in answering that to say, well, yeah, I hate some sin. And most of the sin that we would mean by that is, when you're doing it, brother, my sin, that's not as bad as what you're doing. Generally, the way we look at it, isn't it? Amen. Well, one more passage of Scripture and we'll close for the evening in that regard. Book of Matthew, chapter 5. Verse 48, after telling everything that He told us. Verse 20, He said, except your righteousness shall exceed the righteousness of the scribes and the Pharisees, ye shall in no case enter into the kingdom of heaven. Then He begins dealing with anger, with murder. Murder stems from anger. He deals with looking on a woman. He's committed adultery already in his heart. The issue of coveting. Dealt with the issue of speaking truth. He dealt with the issue of doing unto others as you'd have them to do unto you. He dealt with the issue of if they in need, if they ask for your coat, give them your cloak. If they want you to walk a mile with them, walk 2 miles with them, 10 miles with them. The hard one now. Here's the hard one. Love your enemies.
Yeah.
do good unto them that spitefully use you, misuse you. He sums all that up with verse 48. Be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect. Be perfect. What's going to motivate me? What's going to motivate me to the Word of God? Move me to the Word of God. Move me to obedience to the Word of God. Is it not fear of the Lord, my God? Think about it. When you were a child in your parents' home, what moved you to obedience to your father? Wasn't it a fear? It was a reverential fear. But it was fear.
Amen.
See? And we're to fear the Lord. Isn't fear of the Lord the beginning of wisdom? The beginning of wisdom. All right.